It was just a common, ordinary day. Sun rose, the birds sang, the flowers blossomed, the roosters crowed, and the donkeys hee-hawed, if donkeys hee-haw. People awakened, they stretched, they stirred, they drank their Roman coffee, ate their Roman biscuits and broiled fish. And the two Marys that early Sunday morning hastened up a narrow pathway to a tomb. They hastened to perform a common task. Now, it isn't hope that leads the women along that path that day. It's duty. It's sheer, naked devotion. As far as they were concerned, Christ was dead. The last time they saw him, his body was bloodied and bruised and battered and broken and had been taken from a cross. The last time they saw him, he had no heartbeat, no pulse, no respiration. His body was still. It lay motionless. And so it is not hope that drives them that day. It is not courage that drives them that day. It's duty. It's devotion. The morning is dark. It's been dark since Friday. It's dark with Peter's denial. Dark with Judas' rejection. Dark, dark Friday. It's dark with the disciples' fear. It's dark with Pilate's cowardice. It's dark with Christ's anguish. It's dark with Satan's glee. It was dark that Sunday morning, and the women were simply doing their duty. The two Marys knew that there was a task at hand. There was something that needed to be done. Now, Peter didn't offer to do it. John didn't offer to do it. Andrew didn't volunteer to do it. Cleansed lepers didn't volunteer to do it. Healed sufferers were nowhere to be seen. And so Mary and Mary decide to do it. They're doing their duty. It's service motivated by love. They're coming to the tomb. They're going to anoint his body. They're going to prepare it that morning to lie in that tomb forever. The two Marys are doing something that needs to be done. You know, there are times in life when we too are called to do something that needs to be done. There are times in life where we're called to do something expecting nothing in return. There are times that we are too called to give to people that will never give to us. We're called to forgive when people won't forgive us. We're called to be kind for kindness' sake. We're called to serve for service' sake. There are times, too, that when we are called to come early and stay late. There are times when we're called to do something that nobody will notice. I remember some time ago, I had an operation on my knee. And my wife stayed for the first few days after that operation, but she had some appointments, speaking appointments throughout America. And she said, "Mark, I don't think I ought to go." And I said, "No, you've got speaking appointments. I can still roll out of bed. I can still use these crutches. I can hobble around the house. I can figure out how to push the button on the microwave. It's a little complicated, but I think I can still do that. There's still a little dial on the stove, and I think I know where 350 is." So she made me some food, and I said, "Go to those speaking appointments." Well, the first day was kind of rough. My knee was in pain after surgery on a meniscus that I had torn in Israel, taping programs, or it is written, climbing over a rock. And as I lie there in bed, I got up and began hobbling over to the microwave and pushed the right button and fed myself that day. But you know, one of the dear mothers in Israel, gray-haired old sister saint, heard that this preacher was hobbled up in bed. And each mealtime, my doorbell would ring, and there would be hot soup. There would be homemade loaves of bread and rolls and She would come into the house, his gray-haired sister in Israel, push the microwave button, put stuff in the oven, spread it out on the table and say, "Pastor, time to eat. Come and eat." And Pastor, just leave the dishes. I like that part. "Just leave the dishes in the sink, Pastor, because tomorrow when I come, I'll wash them up." Thank God for people who serve with no desire for anything in return. Thank God for those unsung heroes that are kind for kindness' sake, that know how to serve and to love and be kind. Mary and Mary, the two M&Ms, were simply doing their duty. They were willing to serve when nobody would notice. But God was watching, and God noticed. God saw their tears. God knew their commitment. God honored their faithful service. Now, here it is. Here it is. Don't miss this. When you serve with no desire for anything in return, when you are kind for kindness' sake, when love prompts your action, God will do something amazing. When you bless, you are blessed. When you are kind, God pours out all of heaven's richest blessings for you. And as the two Marys approached the tomb that day, God was preparing to do something amazing. God was preparing to do something incredible. If you have your Bible, please, and I hope you do, please take it and turn to Matthew, the 28th chapter. That common, ordinary morning was going to be graced by God's extraordinary, amazing miracles. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it." Now, I'd like you to imagine a church board meeting in the upper room early that Sunday morning, or possibly late Sabbath evening. And as the church board meeting meets, the two Marys share their idea and they ask for a motion. The two Marys say, "Disciples, we're going to the tomb tomorrow morning. And as we go to the tomb, we are going to anoint the body of Christ." The church board begins discussing it. Peter speaks up. "What? What did you say? Are you crazy? We are locked in this upper room. You saw what they did to Christ. You saw the nails driven through his hands. You saw the crown of thorns placed upon his head. You saw the spear wound in his side. You saw the broken, bloody, bruised, battered body taken off the cross. What? You are going to the tomb? Somebody will ask you where you came from. You'll tell them. They'll force you to tell them where we're hiding. Please don't go. Somebody will recognize you. They'll know you're a disciple of Christ. They'll know you're a follower of Christ. Please, what are you thinking about? Are you crazy? You'll be arrested. They'll do to you what they did to him." Peter speaks up. "Don't go." Peter's are the words of fear. Matthew speaks up. Now, Matthew is a tax collector, a calculator. Don't you understand that there are 100 Roman soldiers guarding the tomb? What, are you foolish? How are you going to get by those Roman soldiers? They'll never let you to do it." Then Thomas speaks up. Thomas the doubter. "Mary, you have forgotten one thing, the stone. Mary, I have a question to ask you. That stone weighs 787 pounds. Have you ever lifted 787 pounds, Mary? Mary, are you crazy? Mary, are you out of your mind? Mary, what are you thinking? Mary, I only have one question. Who is going to roll away the stone?" Now you answer that one, Mary. Who is going to roll away the stone? There were doubters then, and there are doubters today. You present some ambitious idea on the church board to reach the community for Christ, and you go to vote an evangelistic meeting. Nobody will come.
They haven't come for 20 years, and they won't come for another 20. Why spend that money on those handbills? Why spend that money? There are too many stones in the way. There are doubters then, and there were doubters today. Who is going to roll away the stone? And the scripture says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." God had prepared an angel to roll away stones, and God still moves stones today. God is the God of unexpected surprises. They came to the tomb and the stone was rolled away. God is a God of unexpected surprises. In the Bible, donkeys talk. That's unexpected. In the Bible, ravens feed Elijah. That is unexpected. In the Bible, water flows from a rock. That's unexpected. In the Bible, manna falls from heaven. That's unexpected. In the Bible, a common stick becomes a powerful rod in the hand of Moses and the Red Sea opens. That's unexpected. In the Bible, water is turned to wine. That's unexpected. In the Bible, some man finds, Peter finds tax money in the fish of a in the mouth of a fish. Praise God, wish it would happen today. That's unexpected, you see. Unexpected. God is the God who can work unexpected miracles for those that trust Him. Some stone in your pathway today, some obstacle in your life today, some hill you are climbing today, when the journey is long and the road is tough and it's filled with obstacles, God still moves stones. God is still the God of unexpected blessings today. God is still the God who, when we move forward in faith and do not live in the miasma of doubt, when we move ahead in confidence and do not stand there faltering, fearful, haltering, we serve the God of the universe. We serve the God of unexpected blessings. We serve the God of miracles. When we move forward in faith in our lives, God does what we never imagined that He could do. Not long ago, I was holding a large evangelistic meeting in the Communist Congress Palace Auditorium in Bucharest, Romania. That auditorium was the place that the great communist leaders spoke. There, Ceausescu spoke and championed godless, secular, materialistic, atheistic communism. It was there that many of the Russian leaders spoke. Men like Khrushchev spoke there. And as they spoke, they championed godless atheism. They debunked Christianity. But now, under the providence of God, we were preaching night after night in that cultural palace, in the center of Bucharest, Romania. Thousands began to come. We set up a satellite dish on the top of the cultural communist palace and were broadcasting to all of Eastern Europe, broadcasting into Russia the message of Christ and truth, broadcasting to Czechoslovakia, broadcasting to Bulgaria, broadcasting throughout the former Soviet bloc. Lucian Crucescu is the ministerial secretary of the Romanian Union of Seventh-day Adventists. He had lived through those fearful, difficult communist years. And with his eyes, he saw this God of miracles, this God of unexpected blessings work amazing blessings, amazing miracles. God is the God of unexpected blessings. Lucian Crucescu told me this story. He said, "Mark, during the days of communism in 1948, my father-in-law was secretly typing the Bible." Now, in those days of communism, in the 40s particularly, it was very difficult. The Stalin years were soon to begin. And in the late 40s and in the Stalin years throughout the 50s, life was extremely difficult, particularly for Christians. And Lucian Crucescu's father-in-law was a Seventh-day Adventist minister. And he owned a typewriter. Now, in those days, it was against the law to own a typewriter. A typewriter was considered a mini printing press, and printing was the function of the state,
The state controlled all printing. Every evening, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, Lucian Prusesco's father-in-law, and I'll call him Pietra began to type. And he would type the Gospel of Matthew, and type Mark, and type Luke, and he'd type John. He'd type books like The Desire of Ages and Steps to Christ. Type a chapter, type 2 chapters. He would give them to young people, and young people would read them, give them to the deacons and the elders of the church. And although it was against the law, it was the church's way of spreading God's word quietly under communism. One day at 1:30 in the morning, a knock came on the door. The communist KGB, the equivalent of the Russian KGB, the Romanian Security Service, knocked on the door. They had been informed by an informer and an infiltrator that Pietra, that Adventist pastor, was typing the Bible, that he was typing Christian literature. They burst into his home. They found him typing. He was beaten severely. They took the typewriter out into the street. They smashed it. They took the books and burned them. They made a public mockery of his work. And he was taken to prison. When he came to the prison, there was a very large, very rotund communist captain. The communist captain walked up to him and he said, "Do you believe in God?" Now, Pastor Pietra was a short, slender, rather skinny man. And he said, "Yes, of course I believe in God." With this large, heavy-set, rotund, overweight captain said, "Do you pray before you eat?" "Yes, I do." "Well, God isn't doing a very good job with you. Look at how skinny you are. But look at me. The communist state feeds me. Look at me. The communist state is doing better by me than God is doing by you." And so I'll tell you what we're going to do. I will thank the communist state for my food, and I'll go home tonight and eat steak. And I'll get fatter and fatter. And we're going to put you in a prison cell. And all we're going to give you is water to drink for the next 5 days. And you pray to God, and I will show you that the communist state feeds me better than God feeds you. Lock him up. So Pastor Pietro was locked up. That night, he got on his knees and he prayed and he said, "Dear God, I am willing to starve to death because you don't have to prove by giving me food that you're my God. But God, you are a God of unexpected miracles. You are a God that amazes us. God, do something unexpected. Do something miraculous. God, in this cell, to the glory of your name, to show that captain that you are the living God of unexpected miracles, the God that still moves stones. God, please do something miraculous." As he was praying, he heard, "Meow, meow, meow." And he saw a cat. And that cat came under the bars of the cell. And it had a long, slender piece of Romanian bread in its mouth. Pietro took the bread, broke off the piece that was in the captain's mouth, ate it like manna from heaven, and was nourished. He said, "God, that's unexpected. A cat brings bread. Thank you, God." Next day, didn't eat all day. They gave him a little water. On his knees the next day, and he heard, "Meow, meow." And the cat came a second day with bread. And it came a third day and a fourth day. Now the fifth day, the large Romanian captain came back. And he said to him, "How you been doing? The communist state's feeding me." And Pastor Pietro looked at him and said, "You're not going to believe this. I'm just telling you, you're not going to believe this. But I've been eating quite well." "Who's been bringing you food? What do you mean you've been eating quite well?" "I have been eating quite well. Because a cat has been bringing me bread every single day." "What?" And just at that moment, meow, meow, and the cat began coming with bread, and the Romanian captain looked and he said, "That is my cat, and that is my bread." God is the God of unexpected miracles. The captain began to tremble. And he said, "Your God is so powerful. Leave this place immediately." That story in 1948 was the single story that inspired Seventh-day Adventist young people in Romania to be faithful to God. They faced communism head on because God moved the stone. When you are committed to God like the two Marys, and you do what needs to be done because it has to be done, God does the unexpected. When you step out for God to keep the Bible Sabbath, and there's a stone in the way, and it doesn't look like you can support your family, God still sends angels from heaven to move the stone and does the unexpected. When you bring your kids up in Sabbath school and to come to camp meeting, and in their teens and 20s at times they leave, but you are faithful in praying for them, God still moves the stone in their hearts. And there are thousands of Adventist young people, I see them all the time, coming back to the church today. God does the unexpected when we're faithful. At the time you don't expect it, God taps on their shoulder. At the time you don't expect it, God reaches their heart. At the time you don't expect it, do not give up, brother. Do not give up, sister. Do that which is right because it is right. Serve out of love and watch the amazing things God does in your life. When you are faithful in your tithe, when the bills are mounting up and mounting up and mounting up, and you say, "How can I do this?" Believe God for a miracle. Trust God for a miracle in your life. God does the unexpected. You see, the resurrection speaks of three things. The resurrection speaks first of a God that moves stones, a God that does the unexpected. The resurrection speaks secondly of a God that does the impossible. God is the God of the impossible possibilities. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Matthew, the 17th chapter, in the 20th verse. God is the God of impossible possibilities. God does that which is impossible. Matthew, the 17th chapter and the 20th verse. So Jesus said to them, see, it doesn't make any difference how big the stone is, whether it's 787 pounds guarding the tomb of Christ or whether it is a mountain of stone. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there." And it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. God is bigger than our doubts. God is greater than our fears. God is larger than our problems. God is the God of the impossible possibilities. The scripture says nothing is impossible with God. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, Jesus adds, you see, God is waiting in the days that we call last and in the generation that we call final. God is waiting to manifest His power. God is longing for a group of people who step out like the two Marys, with stones in their pathway, but people who step out, people who reach out for God, people who go out on a limb for God. When you go out on a limb for God, He'll never saw that limb off behind you. When you step out in faith for God, God works impossible miracles in your life. He's the God of impossible possibilities. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Grasp it by faith. Your marriage has gone sour. Your heart is like a stone, sir, cold for your husband. For your wife, your heart is cold, ma'am, for your husband. The love that you once had has seeped out of your marriage. He is the God of the impossible possibility. God can put love in your heart again. God can warm up that heart again. The answer is not to leave her. The answer is not wandering eyes for somebody else. The answer is on your knees before God, saying, God, light that flame of love in my heart again. We give up too easy. Even in Seventh-day Adventist homes, marriages are collapsing. Oh, I am not naive. I am not ignorant. I recognize that there are times of unusual abuse. I know that. But that's not the reason why most Seventh-day Adventist marriages are collapsing. It's that the heart has become cold. But God is the God of impossible possibilities. He's a God that can work miracles. He's a God that can bring marriages together and put love back in the hearts again. He's the God who can bring our kids back again. He's the God when they've drifted away, as we pray daily and fast for them, God can bring them back. He's the God that can penetrate our communities and bring not two people in the church baptized every year, but He's the God who can bring in 50, 100, 200 in our churches. He's the God that can rekindle spiritual life. He is the God that is going to light this world with a blaze of His glory. He is the God of impossible possibilities. The Red Sea opens. That's an impossible possibility. Israel walks through. Jericho's walls fall down. That's an impossible possibility. And there's a conquest for the kingdom of God. Sennacherib surrounds Israel and is about ready to destroy it. And the angel of the Lord comes down and slays 185,000 Assyrians. That's an impossible possibility. Jesus walks on water. Don't try it. That's an impossible possibility. God works the impossible. Jesus stands up. There is a storm. The lightning flashes. The thunder crashes. And God calms the storm. An impossible possibility. Jesus feeds 5,000. By taking bread in His hand. That's an impossible possibility. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. That's an impossible possibility. And praise God, an angel descends from heaven, rolls away the stone, and the lifeless form of Jesus comes out of the tomb, and He's alive. That's an impossible possibility. God does it. He is the God of impossible possibilities. I have seen God work so many miracles. You know, we came over to Romania. We got there. We were to begin on Friday night preaching in the Communist Party Cultural Center. We had shipped in all of our equipment. And I got there and I noticed there was this strange look on the face of our crew. And I talked to them. I said, is there a problem? They said, Mark, we have all the equipment, but there's one problem. We have just purchased the most sophisticated satellite dish in the world. There's only a couple like it in the world. It's brand new. It'll give us the best possible signal. I said, wonderful. They said, there's a problem. We are beginning the meetings Friday night. It is Tuesday. The dish is not here. The company didn't get it ready in time. And it's still in Miami. I said, still in Miami? Can we function without that dish? Can't function without it. But wait, there are hundreds of churches all through the communist Eastern Europe waiting for that dish. They said, Mark, we're in big time trouble. We began to pray. God is the God of impossible possibilities. They said, there's no way that dish can be shipped on time. The only possibility they've finished it today is if somebody flies with it. We called Florida Conference. Talked to our friend, Ministerial Secretary Ralph Ringer. Said, Ralph, we got big time problems. It's a Tuesday. We need somebody that's going to fly with a dish over here. He said, look, I would do it for you, but I've got appointments all this week that can't be broken. We said, is there anybody in your office? He said, let me talk to the secretary, Noel Shank, with the Florida Conference. He said, when do they have to leave? We said, they have to leave your office in Orlando within the next hour. They need to get a flight to Miami. They need to pick up that dish someplace in Miami. They've got to clear it to customs, and they need to make a flight in 2.5 hours, 3 hours out of Miami. Ralph quickly ran down the Florida office. Conference president was on a conference call with the general conference. He handed him a note. Pastor Finley's in trouble in Romania. We've got to send somebody right now. Can you authorize the funding? Conference president said, if Pastor Finley's in trouble in Romania, do it. They said, who can we find? They said, wait a minute. Adriana Passos, a secretary in the conference office, is Romanian. She speaks Romanian. Let's ask her. They went to Adriana. Can you leave immediately? What? For where? Romania. Tears came to her eyes. She said, I have relatives in Romania. I've been praying that God would help me to be able to get to Pastor Finley's evangelistic meetings. God is the God of impossible possibilities. Adriana called her husband and said, honey, can you pack for me? Can you pack for me? He said, where are you going? She said, Romania. When are you leaving? In the next 15 minutes. He packed as any man would do so neatly, you know, in that suitcase. Stuffed that stuff in. Met Adriana within 20 minutes. She was on an airplane, flew to Miami. Now the big problems began. She came up to the ticket counter. We told her, you go to the ticket counter, and we're going to have 7 boxes of the most sophisticated technological equipment there. We were calling back and forth from Romania to the country, to the company. She comes to the ticket counter. The plane is boarding and boarded. She's got 10 minutes to get on the plane. And she said, I'm Adriana Passos. I have a ticket waiting for me here. Yes, you do. I'm to take 7 boxes of equipment. 7 boxes of equipment. Who's going to bring them? I don't know. Where are they? I'm not sure. What is it? Satellite equipment. Satellite equipment? I mean, you don't realize the hours that takes to clear customs. Just as she's talking, person walks up, 7 boxes of equipment from the company. They said, but wait, the plane's ready to leave. This stuff's got to go through customs. She said, can I talk to your manager? The manager comes up. We had already called the manager. He said, I know about this. This equipment does not have to clear customs. It can go. If you have ever flown internationally, you know that you do not bring 7 boxes of the most sophisticated technological equipment on an international flight with all the hijackings today, with all the bombings of airplanes without checking customs. 7 boxes of satellite equipment went through without going through customs. Now, we told Adriana, we said, now, Adriana, the big problem is when you get to Germany. Because if your flight connection is short, they may only load 1 or 2 of those boxes. And if half that stuff is hung up in Germany, we cannot function without that equipment. We cannot function without 1 box. Adriana, be sure they load every 7 boxes. So Adriana goes to Germany, makes the transition on a Lufthansa flight in Frankfurt, now to head out to Romania. As she got to Germany, she said, I have 7 boxes of equipment. Please be sure it's all loaded. The agent said, I can't do that. She said, really? I mean, that's not my function. Adriana got on the plane. The plane sat on the runway. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes. At the end of 45 minutes, the pilot came over the loudspeaker and said, ladies and gentlemen, I regret to inform you that we have been held up. And the reason we have is somebody came with 7 boxes of very sophisticated equipment that we had to get on this plane. We've just loaded the last of the 7 boxes, so now we can be on our way. Adriana sat there, praise the Lord! Came into Romania. We cleared customs. I sent 21 boxes of 21 Bibles to Romania, and it took me 4 days to clear them from customs. We cleared 7 boxes of technological satellite equipment in 10 minutes. I will tell you something. God still moves stones. God still moves stones. He is the God of unexpected blessings. He is the God of impossible possibility. Some impossibility in your life, believe that God is going to move that mountain. Commit yourself to service for God. Let nothing keep you from moving ahead in faith. And watch this God of impossible possibilities. See, the resurrection says 3 things. That empty tomb says 3 things. The empty tomb tells me first that there is no stone in my life that God cannot move. The empty tomb tells me first that as I step out in faith, God will give me unexpected blessings. The empty tomb tells me secondly that he's the God of the impossible. It is impossible for a dead man to live. But this Christ who is alive speaks to us of a God who can do impossible things. The third thing that the resurrection story tells me is that God is not only a God of unexpected blessings. He's not only a God of impossible possibilities. But God is a God of new beginnings. It was Friday. Dark, dark Friday. They drove nails through his hands on Friday. Blood ran down his wrist on Friday. They put a crown of thorns upon his head on Friday. Blood ran down his face and matted in his beard and dripped in the stone in the bottom of the cross on Friday. It was dark, dark Friday. Friday, the day of Golgotha's mountain. Friday, the day of Calvary's hill. It was Friday. The sky was darkened on Friday. The thunder crashed on Friday. The lightning flashed on Friday. It was Friday. The flowers drooped their heads on Friday. The birds stopped singing on Friday. It was Friday. The day of Peter's denial. The day of Judas' rejection. The day of Pilate's judgment hall. It was Friday. It was dark, dark Friday. They took his battered, bloody, bruised body off the cross. They laid it in a tomb. It was Friday. The disciples were discouraged. They said, isn't this the one that would have delivered Israel? It was Friday. It was the darkest day in history. It was Friday. Their hope danced away like a shadow. Like grains of sand slipping through their fingers. It was Friday. It was their dark day. Greatest dark day in history was the Friday of the crucifixion. The disciples locked themselves in the upper room. They said, we've left our fishermen's nets. We've left our boats. We've left our tax collecting tables. We've left our shepherding. We've left our professions. It is Friday. We've left all this and look what's happened to our life. Where do we go from here? We are the laughing stock. We are ridiculed. People are mocking us and ridiculing us. You said that it was him who would bring in new life for Israel. It was Friday, dark, dark Friday. And you and I go through our dark Fridays. Cancer. Heart attacks. A call at 2 o'clock in the morning that your child has just gone through the windshield of a car and is dead lying on the interstate. A pink slip that tells you that after 30 years with the company, 20 years with the company, you're no longer needed because you're 58 years old and they need somebody younger. You're laid off. We got our dark Fridays. A marriage that goes sour, dark Fridays. Dark Fridays. Midlife crises, what is life all about anyway? Discouragement, depression. Dark Fridays. We go through them. Our dark Fridays. But hallelujah. On Sunday morning, the tomb was empty. An angel descended from heaven and rolled away the stone. And on Sunday, the sun rose. And on Sunday morning, the birds sang. And on Sunday morning, Marys that came to the tomb had new life pulsate through their beings. And they said, hallelujah, because the angel said, Matthew, the 28th chapter, Matthew chapter 28, verse 5. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Christ is alive. Hallelujah. The empty tomb speaks of new beginnings. New beginnings for Peter, a fisherman who became a mighty preacher and baptized 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. New beginnings for Matthew, a tax collector who faithfully wrote the Gospel of Matthew. New beginnings for Thomas, who ultimately became a missionary to India and shared the Gospel. New beginnings for Mary, who became a mature disciple and a matriarch in Israel. New beginnings for all believers. There is an empty tomb. And that empty tomb speaks of new beginnings. It speaks of a Christ who is alive. A Christ who ever lives to make intercession for us. This camp meeting can be a time of new beginning for you. New beginning in your marriage, where this Christ can move the stone and do the impossible. new beginning with your kids when you can get on the phone and say, I know there have been something between us in conflict, but I love you still. New beginning for elders who are arguing in the church whether the carpet is green or red. I don't care whether it is green or red, but I do care whether we reach the community for Jesus Christ. I'm not concerned about the color of the carpet. I am concerned about the souls of men and women. Petty arguments in the church board. This can be a Sabbath of new beginnings. You can go back to your church and say, God, give us a new beginning. Give us a focus for the lost in your own personal life. You've come here struggling with sin, struggling with some habit, struggling with some stone in your life. This can be a day of new beginnings. Are you looking for a blessing? God has an unexpected blessing for you today. He wants to reach down and touch you right now. Something impossible in your life, God's the God of impossibilities. He wants to work a miracle in your life right now. You need a new beginning. There's an empty tomb. And the reason the tomb is empty is because Christ is alive. And that living Christ right now wants to touch you. He wants to give you a new beginning in your life. He wants to give you a new start in your life. Would you like to say to Jesus just now, God, oh Lord, work that miracle in my life and give me a new beginning. As we pray, would you just like to lift your hand and say, God, I sense I need a new beginning. And the empty tomb speaks to me of a living Christ who will touch me right now and give me a new beginning. If you sense in your life that you need a new beginning, would you just raise your hand as I pray? Oh, my Father. Oh, my Father. We long for that new beginning. Life has its ruts. We can so often get into a rut in our spiritual life. Laodiceanism is really a spiritual rut. We get bogged down with the common, with the ordinary. We get bogged down with the here and the now. Oh God, give to us today a new spiritual beginning. Give to us today an unexpected blessing. Work impossible miracles in our life. Do for us what we can never do for ourselves. We come to you, O Jesus. There is no other place to come. We lay out before you our needs, our longings, our problems, our anxieties. And we thank you that the tomb is empty. We thank you that Christ is alive. We thank you that our dark Fridays can fade into beautiful, glorious resurrection mornings. We thank you that because the tomb is empty, our hearts don't need to be empty. The Christ that once lived in that tomb, lied there in death, can live in our hearts forever and ever and ever. Thank you for that new beginning, I pray thee in Christ's name.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.